This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run. You're here with me, Roshan Gunnison, Noel Lim, and Kusu Chuang. And in about half an hour, we'll be speaking to P. Gunasegaram, Editor-in-Chief of Focus Malaysia, on the issue of makcik kiosks in the country and how the representation of that in the stimulus package, how to address their concerns. And on that note, we have a poll running on Twitter right now. How should the government help makcik kiosks and the B40 segment during this crisis? We've got about 60 votes so far and an hour left on the poll. And 36% right now have said upskilling programs, followed by 33% who have said more cash handouts. Cheaper financing is in third there with 16%. And there are others, 15% have said others and have put in some comments, which we'll get into later. But right now, amid the COVID-19 crisis, the World Bank is projecting negative economic growth for Malaysia this year. The World Bank has cut its 2020 GDP target for Malaysia to negative 0.1, a significant drop from its earlier target of 4.5%.
It does not surprise me if in a few weeks' time that figure also might be revised, because we are living in quite unusual times. Anyway, they cited growing uncertainty over the duration and overall impact of the outbreak as reasons for the cut. I think that's reasonable. The reduction also incorporates a slower growth momentum from the second half of last year, where, you know, we saw a lot of that issues coming up from the trade war.
Yeah, look, I mean, 0.1%, I would say, is reasonably generous, because for people on the ground, negative 0.1% is, it is generous. It does seem generous. And there's always a divide between what people feel on the ground and what the economists reckon the data is.
So for more on this, we speak to Dr. Richard Reckert, lead economist at the World Bank, to give us a breakdown of the report from yesterday. Richard, thank you for joining us on the line this morning. What is the impact of Malaysia's stimulus package announcement? Do we need additional measures here?
The second economic stimulus package includes a number of measures that will help protect the incomes of vulnerable Malaysians and shield businesses from the negative impact of the COVID-19 pandemic. Additional resources have also been made available to support frontliners, and the decision to scale up cash transfers to those on lower incomes and to introduce targeted wage subsidies that involve burden sharing between government and firms, consistent with what we see in lots of other countries around the world. Compared with other economies, Malaysia's package is large as a share of GDP, about 17%. However, it does rely much more heavily on non-fiscal measures, especially on the financial sector, as well as withdrawals from citizens' own pension fund contributions relative to other economies around the world. And so the scale of the net fiscal impulse is just about 1.5% of GDP. And really that reflects the fact that Malaysia is starting from a comparatively weak fiscal position, coupled with the additional challenge of weakening oil revenues at the same time. I think from our perspective, the package implicitly assumes that the crisis will pass within the next 2 to 3 months. And if this is not the case, then I think additional stimulus measures will almost certainly be needed. I think there are also some concerns that the relatively modest size of the wage subsidy might not be enough to prevent layoffs by firms, particularly those with weaker balance sheets, if there's a prolonged period of restricted activity. I think if the MTO is longer than we expect, or if the impact of the crisis is deeper than we expect, likelihood we'll probably be seeing a third round economic stimulus package.
What are the key risks to the Malaysian economy from this pandemic?
So I think the risks are really threefold. Firstly, of course, and perhaps most importantly, the risk that Malaysia's health system is unable to absorb the shock from the pandemic. And this is why it's really important to free up resources, both for frontliners. Secondly, that vulnerable households and businesses, especially SMEs, are unable to withstand the shock. And that, perhaps related to that, then the structure of Malaysia's economy might be damaged, which might make it harder to return to growth during the recovery phase. And so I think this is why it's so important to protect incomes, particularly among vulnerable households, and to sort of protect vulnerable firms, particularly SMEs, who are able to preserve cash reserves so they're able to respond and bounce back when we see the economy returning to a recovery phase.
So, Richard, what else can middle-income countries like Malaysia do to weather the storm? For example, is a fiscal push the only solution available?
So we're seeing countries respond across the world with a mixture of health, fiscal and monetary policy responses. And so Malaysia is really no exception to this, has also responded across those three tracks. Although, of course, not all countries have gone into the crisis with the same amount of available space. Hence, the balance of instruments does vary from one country to another. One of the reasons why Malaysia is leaning much more heavily on the monetary and financial sector accommodation, as well as regulatory forbearance, is because the fiscal and debt buffers going into the crisis were quite thin, giving a little bit less room for manoeuvre on the fiscal side.
Now, Richard, is it time to put aside fiscal targets as economic conditions are currently unprecedented and extenuating?
So clearly this is an exceptional shock to the world economy. It's an exceptional shock to Malaysia. And so by our judgment, it requires an exceptional response. I think if the negative impact of the crisis on vulnerable households and on vulnerable businesses is not blunted, then the implications could be long-lasting. So I think medium-term fiscal consolidation is probably better served by ensuring a rapid and sustainable recovery after the crisis, which means investing now and putting the fiscal consolidation agenda on hold until we're past the worst.
Richard, do you have a projection of how long it will take for Malaysia to recover?
So, I mean, it's really difficult for economists to make projections at this point, given so many uncertainties. However, from the World Bank side, our baseline projection is that Malaysia's economy will see growth of negative 0.1% in 2020. And that's in a scenario where disruptions would extend probably to some extent throughout most of the year, but we would see a partial recovery towards the year end. And this would see Malaysia fully back on track in 2021. In our lower case scenario, we see perhaps a deeper than expected contraction in global growth, or alternatively, perhaps a longer than expected period of disruption and containment in Malaysia. And that would perhaps result in a deeper contraction this year, could be as worse as negative 4.6%, and recovery perhaps only pushed then into the first or second quarter of 2021.
Thank you for joining us on the line, Richard. That was Dr. Richard Reckert, lead economist at the World Bank. And I think one of the things he highlighted there, which I paid a bit more attention to, was the fact that it's very hard for economists to make projections at this point because data is continuously changing at this point. More information is coming about. I mean, we've seen projections and GDP numbers change in the last... In a good year, you see it change. You can see estimates go up or down. And this is definitely not a normal year.
Well, the problem for the World Bank is that they've actually got to put hard data behind it. But it's easy for people like me to just go and say, oh, you know, Malaysia is driven by three things. Now, those three things are, for example, Petronas's production, which is basically oil prices. The second thing is private consumption. And the third thing is, of course, export revenue. And all three counts, those metrics are on the decline. Obviously, that's going to thwart Malaysia's economy. And for Richard, I think in the first place, it's not growth of negative 0.1%. It's a contraction of 0.1%. So it's not even growth. And for example, COUNMY, the Bloomberg country snapshot for Malaysia, reckons as high as 4.6% and as low as 4.3%. percent for the next 3 years. I think those numbers are out the window already.
And right now we're going into the 7:30 a.m. news, and when we come back we'll be speaking to Rob Burnett, senior energy analyst at Bloomberg Intelligence, on global oil prices. That's happening after the news. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.